On this edition of Our Town, we are continuing our talk with Terry Greer. She is running for the State House of Representatives, District 9. And another hot button on the table. And, you know, it's almost like there are so many hot buttons. Who's to know which to choose from next? But we are currently looking at the possible repeal of the sanctuary law for the state of Oregon. That's probably something that's it's going to be already done. Or maybe not done. It may have to be revisited after the November election. But where do you stand on that, and what would you like to see happen there?
I support the repeal of the sanctuary movement, and I have been a huge advocate of it. And there are several reasons for that. Primarily, this law had sat on the books for a very long period of time and wasn't enforced. Our governor, when she came in as being appointed governor, one of her first things she did was send a letter to all law enforcement, basically tying their hands and saying, you know, if you enforce, if you do not enforce the sanctuary status, then you will be in danger of losing funds. Well, we have some serious issues here in Oregon. There's an opiate crisis all across the country. But here along the coast and here in the rural areas, just last week, what was it, six people died in Springfield over a 48-hour period because of a bad batch of heroin. We have a really serious issue along the coast.
And so you're tying that with the immigrant status.
I am, and here's my reasoning for that. You know, I grew up in southern Arizona. My family moved there in territorial days and homesteaded. And so our family ranch is basically the same age as the state of Arizona. It's 23 miles this side of the Mexico border. As a kid growing up...
Okay, I want you to finish that, but I have to ask you, where in southern Arizona?
Oh, in Patagonia.
Okay.
23 miles this side of Nogales.
I was about 23 miles this side of Sassabe, which if you're familiar with that, that's the reason why I stopped you there, because you're from the same neck of the woods. Okay.
Well, and actually my great uncle was a border patrol officer when he was a young man, riding horseback patrolling the border, and they lived in Sassabe for part of the time.
Wow. Okay, mm-hmm. So anyway, back to the point we were trying to make. Sorry about that.
So as a kid growing up, we did see people cross the border who were looking for a better life. As a little kid, my grandma would say, now when you go outside to feed the chickens, rattle the chairs so if somebody's sleeping in the shed, they'll hear you, and run off so that you won't scare them and they won't scare you. We were never afraid.
It was a different situation back then. Because I would wake up to the water running outside and the faucet would be going with someone filling their jugs.
Exactly.
Or give someone a lunch.
Or a sandwich. Right.
You know, yeah.
But that's not
who's crossing the
border.
Typical
folks who are crossing the border right now. And I think that's what's really important. Nogales used to be this place that you'd hop across and get bread or panecillos or whatever. And now you look across the border and you see tall fences with razor wire and people with machine guns, because that's where the drug cartel folks live. And the drug cartels are basically shipping their drugs in. They're using human trafficking, and that's really the issue. And if we're going to be able to empower our law enforcement to try to stop this, the fastest way to do that is to stop the sanctuary issue. The other thing that I will tell you, having, been an advocate for law enforcement issues, what I saw was, I don't know that we'll ever be able to stop it, but it's kind of like it goes through in its weakest place. When Joe Arpaio was the toughest sheriff in the country, and I served as the government affairs person for Maricopa County for about 3 years, and one of the issues I worked on was for the sheriff. When he became really tough, what happened was, they rerouted and started going through Pinal County. And then Sheriff Paul Babiou got tough. And then they rerouted. And in Cochise County, that sheriff got tough. And what they've done in the southernmost part is they try to hopscotch between state land, county, and in particularly tribal land, because there are fewer law enforcement in tribal land, and they can move more quickly through those areas without being noticed. And
so eventually they're making their way up through the states and make their way into Oregon.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore,
well, and what we need to focus on is a couple of things. We're not just talking about sanctuary here. We're talking about the fact that our governor and the leaders in the legislature are now providing free health care as part of the Measure 101. We're talking about the fact that the first people to receive services to be able to do the Oregon Promise are legal immigrants. We're talking about the fact that they are receiving other services. So if you have an opportunity to choose 50 states, where are you going to go? The place that's the friendliest. And that's where they're headed. And that becomes a problem for our folks here, because we can't decipher who the good guys and the people who need help are, or the really scary bad guys. You know, I sat in on a drug enforcement task force meeting, and they showed pictures of black tar heroin within the last 6 months that they had confiscated within the I-5 corridor to 101. The stack was about a foot tall, 8 bars, and they said that one of those was more than they had received in the last 8 years, and that was one drug bust. We have to close this down, and the fastest way to empower our local law enforcement and start addressing it.
So let me ask you this and make it clear. The main issue with you, well, obviously immigration in total is an issue. Of course, we talked about our experiences being young. But if we can't decipher who's good and who's bad, we have to kind of take a stand somewhere. Is that what you're saying?
I do believe that. And I'll give you another answer. You know, I worked for a congressman, and his vineyard was like 20 miles away from my family down in Sonoyta. And there was a pack found in his vineyard, a backpack, and it was full of books. Those books were written in Arabic. And so I'm not worried so much about our Hispanics looking for a better life. I'm worried about border security issues. I'm worried about the drug cartel. I'm worried about human trafficking. I'm worried about them picking up our girls and our boys off the street, all these homeless people. I'm really worried about that.
Right. And that's a great concern. I don't take anything away from that for sure. So you've been at this. You said you got really concerned about this about 2 years ago. You decided to do this. How do you feel the response has been from the people you've been able to talk to on both sides of the fence?
Well, first of all, I think it's really important that people have a choice. When I got my ballot in hand, there was a blank there on the Republican side of the primary, and I didn't feel that was appropriate for the citizens. They deserve to have a choice. And so I started as a write-in candidate in 2016. People have been amazing. First of all, I'm just a regular person like you. You know, I'm a blue-collar girl. I grew up with my parents who worked in the mine, ranching. There's nothing fancy about me. I'm a first-generation college student. It took me 7 years to get my degree, 3 colleges, 2 major changes, a marriage, a divorce, and 2 little boys. I'm just the average person. But the average person who grew up in a tiny little place who's been given amazing opportunities to go to college, to start working at the legislature. I was the only single parent on staff in the basement of the state house. To go to Washington, D.C. You know, I came here because I had a critical illness. I came here 4 months after having my last lung surgery. I had valley fever. And you can have it as minor as just feels like a cold, or you can die from it. And I got the worst case scenario and had the opportunity to participate in, they call it experimental, but honestly, I just think it's an insurance company thing, bronchial thermoplasty. So after my 3rd bronchial thermoplasty, 4 months after, my son drives me here. I think my family thought I was crazy. He pulls into downtown North Bend, and the first thing he said is, "Mom, this looks just like home." I said, "Yeah, that's why I moved here." In addition, it was the only hospital along the coast that had a pulmonary rehab program, and my doctor had already made arrangements for me to do that work. I did the program. I finished on October 15th, and on November 15th, I started working at the college, and I was back to work full-time the first time in 4 years. Oregon gave me my life back, and I don't say that just for the heck of it. I really mean it. I went from not being able to walk across my living room and having had this life when I was running up and down the hills, the stairs of Capitol Hill, to trying to figure out how he's going to breathe every day. I deserve to pay back the people for what they've given me. And that's why I decided to do it. There's not very many people around here who have my experience along the coast. It's rare. It would be kind of like a doctor coming up on a car accident and just standing there and watching people in trouble. Mm. There's a lot of trouble on this coast, and people deserve to have someone who's going to advocate for them. Not because the lobby wants it, not because the governor wants it, or because House leadership wants it, but they need a voice for them that's going to take their voice to Salem, and the only one that they're loyal to is them. I don't have anything to lose. I have everything to gain for rural Oregon.
Terry Greer, thank you so much for being with us today. Good luck in November. It's just around the corner now. So.
Oh, ballots are going to come out sometime between October 17th and October 20th. Please vote. 70,000 folks, conservative folks, stayed home in 2016. We need you to get out and vote.
All right. Terry Greer, thank you so much. Running for state representative, the House District 9. Thank you so much. Coming up next on Our Town, we're going to talk the Great Pumpkin Giveaway with Angela from True Value right after this.